In the previous tape, you learned how to apply mind mapping to achieve a fulfilling, balanced, and productive life. You heard examples of how individuals and major corporations use mind mapping to do everything from setting strategic goals to identifying trends that may impact their futures. But the uses I've mentioned so far only begin to scratch the surface. The ways you can use mind mapping to enhance your thinking powers and improve every aspect of your life are unlimited. On this cassette side, you'll discover a whole spectrum of additional ways you can immediately put mind mapping to work to improve the quality of your life. Let's begin with the stuff of everyday personal and professional living. How about something as routine as making telephone calls? How can you use mind mapping to improve the productivity of your telephone conversations? Well, ask yourself this. Have you ever had the experience of hanging up the telephone and suddenly thinking of something important that you forgot to mention in the conversation? If this happens with a long-distance friend, it's simply embarrassing and expensive if you've got to call them back. If it happens with a client, customer, or potential employer, it can be even more costly. This type of telephone forgetfulness occurs because as you talk, your mind generates associations. When you hang up, the associative process continues, and you often think of some important related item you should have mentioned. You can speed up this association process and prepare for effective telephone conversations by mind mapping your thoughts before you make the call. Keep some colored pens and a pad of paper next to the phone. Quickly map your ideas before dialing, and you'll be amazed at how much more organized and effective your conversations will be. For instance, if you're a salesperson calling a customer, take a minute to map out everything personal you remember about the individual. They'll be delighted when you ask how the baby is or how that vacation to the Caribbean turned out. Mapping can also help you be more efficient if you're facing a day when you'll need to make a lot of phone calls. Mind map all the calls you must make. It's likely you'll see that some can be eliminated by asking the right questions during an earlier conversation. Likewise, you may realize there are facts you should check with one person before dialing another. Taking a minute to mind map all your calls and see how they fit together will eliminate numerous callbacks later in the day. How about another great time trap of business life? The inefficient meeting. On every survey, meetings rank as the all-time number one time waster. If you want to earn the appreciation and gratitude of your coworkers, apply mind mapping to master the art of running organized, brief, and productive meetings. Before every session, mind map the 6 P's of a powerful meeting. The 6 P's are purpose, place, people, pace, preparation, and program. First, purpose. Why is the meeting being held, and what must it accomplish to be worthwhile? Second, place. Select an appropriate place and then create a brain-nourishing environment. Arrange furniture, lighting, music, and aesthetics to inspire your team. Third, people. This branch should reflect who needs to attend and who doesn't. If possible, include people with diverse but complementary thinking styles to encourage synergy. Fourth, pace. Set a specific starting time and stick to it. Give an estimated length, but err on the side of overestimating duration so you can let people out early rather than keeping them late. Plan to include brain breaks as part of the process. As a meeting grinds on, the graph of productivity goes down, down, down. If you want to maximize brain power through the course of a meeting, you need to establish a balance between focus and relaxation. That means taking a 5 or 10 minute brain break every 45 to 75 minutes. In the most effective organizations, breaks are an integral part of the actual working process, a critical method for facilitating the highest level of performance by individuals and teams. Fifth, preparation. Is there anything that people should read, prepare, discuss, or share before the meeting? Note how and when you'll let them know and what they need to do. Sixth, program. Craft it carefully to achieve your purpose, But be prepared to improvise if it becomes apparent that a different course better serves your needs. Mapping these six P's of a powerful meeting, purpose, place, people, pace, preparation, and program, sets the stage for an efficiently run and productive meeting. To further guarantee great meetings, you may want to bring in a trained facilitator to lead a few sessions. This is especially valuable if your group is just beginning to work together on a significant long-term project. As your group matures, assign the facilitation role to each member of your team on a rotating basis. After facilitating a meeting themselves, members become much more sensitive to enhancing the flow of the meeting process. They're much more likely to merge into an intelligent, cooperative, synergetic team which produces outstanding results. Another key to great meetings is to encourage participation and empathic listening. Try beginning your meetings by asking each person to speak, in turn, for a period of 2 to 5 minutes. Encourage other members to apply their best listening skills so, if called upon, they can accurately reflect back the viewpoint and feelings of the speaker. You'll find that this simple process dramatically improves your meeting efficiency and effectiveness. Remember to take brain breaks. Under the Rambo theory of management, meeting productivity is equated with duration, and the ability to control one's bladder serves as a perverse badge of courage. Avoidance of the restroom has no known correlation with meeting effectiveness. In fact, it practically ensures the opposite. Give a 5 to 10 minute break every 45 to 75 minutes, and you'll get far more productive input from the grateful participants. In addition, use mind mapping to record and reflect each participant's contribution as it's made. Cover the walls with giant sheets of paper or use multiple flip charts. Assign a scribe to map each person's remarks. In meetings of 7 or fewer people, assign a color to each person so you can see what each said and track the emerging relationships between ideas. If your map is awash in blue or red, you may want to ask black or green for their contribution. The free-flowing structure of the map stimulates creative associations and participation. The pictures and colors encourage a more imaginative atmosphere, helping to make meetings less ego-centered and more idea-centered. Finally, use mind mapping to preserve and remember the fruits of the team's labor. Key ideas can be captured on one final mind map. This final map can be the basis for writing up cogent, focused meeting minutes. Or, as your group becomes more mind map literate, you can simply send it out as the mind map minutes of the meeting. As you can see, mind mapping is a powerful technique for improving the productivity of your interactions with other people, whether you're on the telephone or in a meeting. But it has even more profound power to hone your negotiation and conflict resolution skills, skills that are the hallmarks of great leaders. One of the most challenging elements in conflict resolution and negotiation is getting people to see one another's point of view. In their best-selling book, Getting to Yes, authors Fisher and Urey point out that it's only after individuals can see another's point of view that they're able to creatively invent options for mutual benefit. And inventing options for mutual benefit is the basis of successful negotiation. Mind mapping a conflict helps us truly see something from someone else's point of view, thereby encouraging discovery of win-win options. Let me share a real-life story of how mind mapping was used to resolve a conflict that threatened the success of a client's business expansion. The client, the owner of a successful restaurant, was preparing to open a second restaurant. Preparations were being disrupted by a dispute between the manager of his first restaurant and the manager of the new one. The client came to me in virtual despair and said, "I'm at a loss about what to do. They're at each other's throats, and it's poisoning the whole business." The two managers agreed to participate in a conflict resolution session. I told them both to prepare for the session by making a comprehensive mind map of their own version of all that had gone wrong in their relationship. We began the session by flipping a coin to see who would go first. The manager of the first store won the toss. He elected to go first, and gave a 15-minute guided tour of his mind map. Manager number two agreed to practice the art of empathic listening. I explained that empathic listening meant no comments, questions, arguing, or fidgeting. Instead, the listener was to try to really experience how the manager was feeling as he talked about each incident. I told them that if they listened with true empathy, they'd be able to summarize both the information and emotions shared by the presenter. After the first manager presented his map for 15 minutes, they reversed roles. At the end of the second presentation, I asked each of them to reflect back the essence of the other's presentation in a factual, empathic manner. After each did so, we had an open discussion. The first manager exclaimed, "I never really saw your point of view before, but this has opened my eyes." The second manager added, "This is the first time I've felt that you weren't out to get me." The two managers had discovered that the practice of really listening is powerful by itself. However, coupled with the use of mind mapping, they were able to literally see the other's perspective. In the case just described, one of the turning points came when the manager of the new unit was presenting. He explained, "I feel that you just don't give me any respect. The very first time we met, you wouldn't look me in the eye, and you shook my hand as if I didn't exist." He pointed to his mind map, which included a traced outline of a hand and two out-of-focus eyes with a big red line drawn through the center. The second manager commented later, "When I saw that mind map, I knew he wasn't just making this stuff up." Having established some understanding and rapport, we finished the session by mind mapping recommendations for improving cooperation between the two and their respective staffs. They reached a number of important agreements, agreed to disagree on a few other issues, and concluded with strong eye contact and a firm handshake. Although they never became best friends, they were able to work together successfully to launch what's now a thriving chain of restaurants. As in conflict resolution, mind mapping can be used effectively to view the situation from the other side of the negotiating table. Before a negotiation session, mind map the other party's perspectives and goals in one color on a large sheet of paper. Then note yours in a different color on the same map. Contemplate the mind map until you begin to see areas for agreement. Link them with arrows or lines. Then create a new mind map that includes all the possible solutions that emerge. A senior partner in a real estate firm recently wrote to tell me how he'd use mind mapping in an important settlement negotiation. By mind mapping both his opponent's and his own views, he wrote that a solution, at least one that appealed to me and seems logical, absolutely popped off the page. So far, we've discussed applications of mind mapping to some pretty serious issues in life. Planning life goals, creating value statements and strategic plans, predicting trends, and conflict resolution and negotiation. However, mind mapping adapts just as well to enhancing activities you engage in for fun and relaxation. Take, for example, planning family vacations. If you have children of various ages, you've probably experienced the great battle over what shall we do on vacation. The little ones are fixated on building sandcastles at the beach. Big brother fancies himself hiking the Rockies, and older sister wants to hit the big city hotspots. Poor mom and dad listen to the clamor for a while and finally decide to just stay home and collapse in the backyard hammock. To avoid such discord, mind map your next family vacation. Ask each person to make a map of what they'd like to do, and then combine your maps into one family vacation map. It likely will suggest itineraries that will satisfy everyone's needs. Of course, mind mapping also works well if you're planning to vacation with friends, spouse only, or going solo. Some of my more innovative clients have also used mind mapping to plan social events and parties. Much like mapping a meeting, you can map the party's purpose or theme, compatible yet diverse people to invite, place, pace, and so on. One of my students created a mind map to plan a dinner party. She drew stick figures of the guests with keywords representing their interests and diverse characteristics. She made simple illustrations of the menu items and wines she planned to serve. Her mind map was so beautiful that she had it color-copied and used it for placemats, whereupon it became such a great conversation starter that it contributed even more to the success of her party. Mind mapping can also be used as a conversation starter with another very important person, your inner self. Here's what I mean. Ever have a day where you're in a terrible mood but you don't know why? Or perhaps, like most people, you feel anxious or troubled by some nagging doubt you can't quite put your finger on. Next time this happens, get out your mind mapping materials and have a free-flowing, spontaneous conversation with yourself. Take a large sheet of paper and draw an image in the center that represents your feelings. It's likely, by the way, that this image will tend towards abstract art. Then turn yourself loose and begin putting associations on paper as fast as they come. Don't edit yourself in any way. When the associations start to slow and you have a sense of having gotten it all out, step back and take a look. This process is cathartic and often yields insights into what's really troubling you. In one form or another, it's often used by art therapists to help clients get more in touch with their feelings. Expressing oneself in colors adds depth and dimension to the voice of our emotions. Although certainly not a panacea for all that ails you, mind mapping your inner voice does help clarify your feelings and frequently produces significant insights. An example of how effectively mind mapping can help us discover our true feelings occurred during a public seminar I led in Washington, D.C. some years ago. The participants were primarily human resources and training directors. Among them was a woman known as the Queen of Local Pop Psychology, whom I'll call Louise. Clothed in a flowing red dress with a bright red carnation ablaze atop her big auburn hair, Louise was a formidable Southern belle. She was one of those people whose body language is so powerful that it affects everyone in the room. I didn't need to be a body language expert to recognize the distress signals from her angular posture and sullen expression. Something was definitely bothering her. When I took her aside and asked if I could help, she sighed loudly and said, "I hate mind mapping." Well, I told her to forget about the mind mapping exercise that the rest of the class was doing. Instead, I asked her if she'd be willing to do a special mind map, one that expressed her feelings on mind mapping. Fortunately, the idea struck a responsive chord. Louise proceeded to make one of the most striking mind maps I've ever seen. First, she drew a purple tunnel crawling with green spiders in a black vortex. Then she began scrawling keywords like fear, confusion, anxiety, death. Almost immediately, her mood visibly improved as her posture and expression expanded. When I asked for a progress report, she beamed and proclaimed, "I love mind mapping. It was just my resistance getting in the way." So when y'all feeling your resistance getting in the way, try mapping it out. Speaking of resistance, many people suffer from lots of it when they try to express their thoughts in writing. From term papers, journals, and reports to love letters, articles, and poetry, writing can be one of life's most useful, rewarding, and enjoyable activities. But for many people, it's an arduous, grinding, and painful process. Many of my students have told me stories of using mind mapping to overcome their resistance to writing. These born-again writers revel in channeling their creativity and self-expression through the written word. Whenever I hear such stories, I chuckle with complete understanding, because my original passion for mind mapping was born when it allowed me to discover my own voice as a writer. When I was in the 9th grade, I was totally disenchanted with school. I particularly hated writing term papers and reports on subjects which seemed to have no relevance to my interests. This attitude was reflected in my grades, which were just passing. As I entered 10th grade, I decided that the price of resisting school was greater than the effort it would take to succeed. I began doing my homework, studying for tests, grinding out term papers. It worked. I became an honor student and was accepted by the university of my choice. In college, I expected that I would have the opportunity to explore my passion for psychology and philosophy. But most of my professors seemed primarily interested in my ability to parrot back the material from the assigned texts. This was particularly true when the professor was the author. So I found that I could succeed by participating actively in class and by constructing term papers, laboriously joining paraphrased quotes from required texts with the necessary ands, therefores, and indeeds. Having become adept at the academic game, I graduated with honors in 3 years with a double major in philosophy and psychology. I graduated knowing only one thing of lasting value. It was that I knew nothing of real value. Seeking sources of knowledge that were more authentic, I traveled around the world on the proverbial quest for truth. As part of my quest, I found a progressive university that allowed me to work independently on a master's degree of my own design in psychophysical re-education. The graduation requirements included completing a thesis of at least 100 pages. But when it came to writing that thesis, I was stuck. My attempts to outline thoughts ended in frustration. How could this be? At last, I was pursuing an area of passionate interest, and for the first time in my academic career, I was being encouraged to express my own ideas. Yet I couldn't seem to get the words down on paper. Then I learned mind mapping from Tony Buzan. I threw away my unproductive outlines and got out a big sheet of paper. I drew a picture in the center that represented the topic of my thesis. I began free associating, linking keywords with connected lines. My mind started exploding with ideas, and I covered the walls with mind maps. I consolidated these maps into a master map that seemed to emerge effortlessly. The main lines became the chapters of my thesis, which I wrote out in longhand. When I was awarded my master's degree, the chairman of the thesis committee exclaimed that he had never seen such an improvement in a student's writing. He wrote, "You appear to have discovered your own true voice." My thesis was eventually published and remains in print in 10 languages. All my books have been written from mind maps, although now I employ a more sophisticated process. I begin by mind mapping all my ideas just like when I was a student. But now, using my mind map as a guide, I dictate the text into a recorder and then have it transcribed to a computer for editing. If I get stuck or need to expand what I'm writing, I just go back to the drawing board and mind map some more. In addition to applying mind mapping to my writing, I use it to develop and plan all my speeches and seminars, to set goals, and to solve problems. I use it to plan trips, social activities, budgets, and for making my daily and weekly schedules. My wife and I even applied mind mapping to plan our wedding. Mind mapping is an indispensable part of my consulting work with organizations. And as these organizations develop a critical mass of mind mappers, they make quantum leaps in their ability to work smarter, achieving previously unimagined levels of high performance. Although I've been teaching mind mapping 100 days a year for over a decade, my students consistently comment on my level of enthusiasm. They tell me it's as if I've just discovered mind mapping the day before. And in a sense, they're right, because every day I do discover some new dynamic way to use mind mapping to enrich my life. You'll find that the more you bring mind mapping to bear on the challenges of your life, the more you'll reap its benefits. The more you practice mind mapping, the more it trains you to be a focused, free-flowing, spontaneously organizing, logically imaginative, synvergent thinker. Use it to plan, strategize, and organize. But most importantly, use it as a tool for discovering your true voice.